Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
Matthew chapter 28, if you want to begin turning there, beginning in verse 1 today. Begin directly this morning with the reading of the scripture. Matthew chapter 28, the account here, according to Matthew, of the resurrection of the Lord, begins and says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings,' and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to you out of trouble, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day." That will be our reading today. If I had a title for the message this morning, it would be Responses to the Resurrection. Responses to the Resurrection. In the 18th century, the U.S. issued a unique Bible. It was a Jefferson Bible, is what it was called. Issued a special edition of the Thomas Jefferson Bible. It was a copy of our Bibles, very similar to the ones we have, with one very important exception. He had removed all of the supernatural events from the scripture. He'd removed all the miracles. He had removed all of the inferences and the incidents of God's divine power being manifest in our world. And he'd removed all of it. It was referred to as the Jefferson Bible. What's interesting, the closing of the Jefferson Bible reads this: "There laid they Jesus, and rolled a great stone at the mouth of the sepulchre, and departed." That's the end of that particular edition of the Bible that we, of course, know has been removed and robbed of all of its strength and power. We know that the Bible actually ends with a risen Lord saying in the book of Revelation to one of his disciples, John, on the Isle of Patmos, we know that Jesus is alive, that he has been resurrected, that he's alive now, and that he told John on the Isle of Patmos, "Behold, I come quickly. Surely I am coming soon." We deal here today with the pinnacle, the core of Christianity, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at the center of all that we believe, and we need to be very careful as we live out our Christian life If you know the Lord, you and I need to be very careful that we do not take this scripture, this book, this Christianity that we follow. It's very easy in the day that we live, perhaps, to turn Christianity into something that's really no more than a moral way of living, a moral system of living that's right and wrong according to mere morality. Following a Christian ethic, or even following what you might call a Christian worldview, can make you a moral person. But if that is all that Christianity is to you, a morality, how to live a life as a good neighbor, how to be a person maybe even of integrity and honesty and a hard and a good work ethic, how to be what others might say is a good person, if that's all your idea of Christianity is, you've not really understood Christianity. It's like taking what Thomas Jefferson did and take from the scripture and remove from it all of its real strength. And we need to be very careful as we begin this morning, because I will tell you that you and I and every one of us has a certain response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this reading, we read three different responses. One from a set of women, one from a set of guards, and one from a set of high priests, set of priests in Jerusalem. And we're going to find in our own life there's going to be some similar responses in ourselves and in those around us. But how you respond to the resurrection, what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is going to determine and establish in many ways your eternity. Let's look at the response, the experience of these women first. They are told to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We notice right away in this, by the way, that he did not say this. This messenger, this angel, did not say this to the guards. He said this to these women. Do not be afraid. Can you imagine for the followers of Jesus Christ and these women what the previous 3 days must have been like? To see their Lord, the one they confessed, and publicly followed during his earthly ministry, crying out and saying to him, "We believe that you, Jesus Christ, are the Son of God. We believe that you have come and you are the Messiah. We believe that you are the only way that I and that we can go to heaven. We believe this." And then to see him handled the way that he was by men, spit upon, mocked, beaten, whipped, put upon a cross, and die. You imagine those 3 days. The fear, the uncertainty, even no doubt, some doubt that would creep in during that time. And this angel, as they see him, as they're traveling to the tomb, and they take the 2-mile trip from where they were to the tomb, and as they get there, this angel, and the first thing that he says to them is, "Do not be afraid." These past hours and these past days, no doubt there was fear set up in their heart. And have you ever lived at any time in your life when there was some problem going on and just seemed like it never left you? And from the time you woke up in the morning to the time you went to bed at night, there was just this sick feeling in your stomach, this gut feeling that things were not right and that things were not well and things were not going the way you wanted them to go. There was no doubt something similar to that going on in the hearts of these women, and they were told to not be afraid right at the beginning. As they came to the tomb and they saw the stone rolled away, and the angel that was here, and he says to them, "Do not be afraid." What a relief this must have been. They had, according to this angel, no reason to fear. He told them exactly why the angel did. Don't be afraid. Jesus is not here. He is risen, just like he said he would. You know, one day when you leave this life, you're going to come front and center and to the reality of the fact that Jesus is alive, just as he said that he is. The angel walks them to the place in the tomb and he says, look where Jesus' body was laid. It is no longer here. And so he says, go and tell his disciples, go quickly. And we find that they did exactly that. They didn't walk, they didn't stroll, they didn't get distracted, they ran. By the way, very briefly, for us that know the Lord and know that He is alive, it should be in our life and in our hearts to run as well, to tell the world. Should not be drugged there. We should not shuffle there. We should not lackadaisically live our lives. We should be living them in a way that there is a quick calling upon us to quickly tell others that He's alive. But particularly, there's a verse here that just struck me. Verse 8 says that they, the women, departed quickly from the tomb. Listen to this. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. How can this be? How can fear and great joy live together in the same heart at the same time? This is one of those paradoxes of the Christian life, one of those things that might be considered a dichotomy of the life of a child of God. They left with great fear, with great joy. There's a lot of spiritual meat here that I hope that we can come together and look at and examine. Why fear? Why did they leave the tomb with fear? I think there's a number of reasons, perhaps. Number one is they were just in the presence of an angel of God. One can only imagine the sheer majesty reflected, the majesty of God that's reflected in one of His angels. And we've seen in Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament this temptation to bow down at these beings that God has created, these heavenly hosts, these angels that He's created. And there was no doubt in them a sense of reverence and awe for such a beautiful creation of God. But I believe that's just the beginning of the fear that they felt. I believe they left with fear as it began to fully dawn on them that their lives would never again be the same. You say, why would they leave this tomb? Why would they leave with fear? I thought Christianity and serving the Lord was nothing but joy, nothing but peace. And that joy and peace accompanies at all times a child of God who's where he ought to be before God. But here we cannot deny the reality that it says that they ran from the tomb with fear. Fear, having witnessed the power and the majesty of an angel who was so beautiful to them. It said it was like lightning in appearance. But that's just the beginning, as I've said, as they begin to see, as they begin to understand Jesus is alive and my life as a result will never, can never be the same. Change in our life is a scary thing, isn't it? We don't like change. We don't like change. In fact, we don't like change so much of the time. It seems we would prefer to remain in a place of discomfort that we know, as opposed to going to a place of joy and peace, or even fear that we don't know. We would rather stay where we are rather than walk forward with the Lord. We have this tendency as fallen human beings. Change is a scary thing, and men and women often prefer the comfort found in the predictability of our lives rather than the uncertainty of the unknown. But listen, the angel, God through the angel, had told them, go and tell my disciples that He's alive. Let us not fear that in a sense that it prevents us from going to the world with the gospel. There is going to be fear in our heart as we do so, but there's many that hesitate, that feel this fear, and they allow it to keep them from going where God has sent them. Many hesitate to come to Christ in the first place because they fear what that change will bring. Many people we don't even know, and I don't know that we ever could know, but it sobers our heart to think of the number of people who have left this life and stepped into eternity and without accepting and without being saved, without acknowledging, without submitting to God, without repenting and believing the gospel, without salvation, without the Lord, and they've left this life because they were afraid of what they might lose from this world. Because they were afraid what friends might think. Because they were afraid what family members might think. Reading a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi, and he spoke in this book about how that his family would reject him if he left the Muslim faith, as most Muslim families would. But in the end, he understood that Jesus indeed was alive. That he was exactly who he said he was, and so he came to him. But so many fall short, so many. Then even after that, there's this choice, there's this experience in the Christian life, there's this response to the resurrection, and it's going to set up in our hearts at times, and there's going to be some fear there. Fear, by the way, also that the admission that once they understood again clearly that Jesus was who he said he was, that's going to change everything in their life. Let me ask you, what has the fact that Jesus is alive, what has the fact of the resurrection changed in your life? Or would you be living your life pretty much the same way, whether or not he was alive today? Examine your life from the time that you get up in the morning on Monday to the time you go to bed on Monday night and every day that follows thereafter. Ask yourself this question: what has the fact of Jesus' resurrection impacted and changed in my life? Because I would submit to you today that if you truly believe this, if we truly believe this, our lives would be lived daily under the realization that he is alive. And that means something for me, not only the day that I got saved, not only the day that I'm going to leave this life, but it means something to me every day from then until then and everything in between.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.